Thank you, Mercy. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here with you all this morning. I've said it a few times, but our Pastor Victor they're just finishing up the Chi Alpha State Retreat. So all the different Chi Alphas are across the state are joining together just for a retreat to really cast vision and really get their hearts set on fire for what the Lord wants to do on the campuses. So they're just finishing up that retreat today, and they should be back. Are they back today? Later this afternoon? And I'm just filling in today, so praise the Lord. Another announcement that was on our list of announcements, which actually I wanted to say something a little bit about anyways, this upcoming Saturday, so October 27th, there's going to be a men's ridiculously awesome breakfast gathering. Praise the Lord. It's going to be, so it's this Saturday, the 27th, 9 a.m. at Tom Endress's house. Tom's not here. He's harvesting or working or he's, it's Corey's dad. They live, in Tremont. So I was told that if we were to put in their address through in GPS, it would bring us to some
Google Maps.
But we're gonna be giving paper maps, to people. It's gonna be an awesome time. If you're a guy, we'd love for you to be there. You don't have to be a regular member. We wanna invite everyone here as well as invite a friend. You know, we wanna just have an awesome time as men, just grow in relationship. There is gonna be a ridiculous amount of bacon. Praise the Lord. It is confirmed there is going to be a tomahawk throwing competition. So that is confirmed we're throwing tomahawks into a big block of wood. That's going to be awesome. So praise the Lord for bacon and tomahawk throwing and just an awesome time together as men. Amen. I'll get into the word. I'm just gonna pray and then go for it. So Lord, I just thank you again for this day. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your son Jesus. Thank you for his precious blood poured out for us. Thank you for his amazing love, Lord, that you've, invited us, Lord, to have true relationship with you. So God, I just thank you, Lord, for strengthening our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you're alive and that you speak. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts. What is on the heart of Jesus? What's on the heart of our Father? We want to encounter your voice today, God. Strengthen and encourage us in you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So not everyone was here last week, but Pastor Victor gave a really powerful word on the harvest. He did an amazing job just bringing clarity of the season that we're in, that now is the time, that the harvest is ripe, and that the time to reap in the harvest is now. Really, it was a powerful word. And the funny thing is Pastor Victor asked me to share about 3 weeks ago, and I had pretty much a word ready to share it was Saturday evening, so it was before I heard Pastor Victor's word, and Saturday night, Laura and I we didn't really have anything going on. We're just like, what should we do? And I just felt prompted to watch a movie. It's called Christ in You. It's a really powerful documentary about how God is using just ordinary people to touch people's lives in a really powerful way. Just from a raise of hands, if you've ever seen that documentary, Christ in You, The Hope of Glory, anyone? Raise your hand. No one's seen that movie? We shared it. Wow, we shared it as a ministry a couple years ago. Highly, highly recommend it. Powerful, powerful documentary. What I love about it is it's just, like I said, just average, regular people you've never heard of, and the documentary follows them, and they just are so in love with Jesus, they just can't keep it to themselves. They start praying for people, and God really starts to move as they share with people. It's just a really powerful documentary. But there was something, they do interview some really awesome men and women of God in the documentary. And this one guy, I don't even know who he was, he said this statement. He says, He said, discouragement is really the lack of courage. And he just kind of went on about courage and discouragement. And I was like, that's so good. That's so good. And it just really stood out to me. And then I prayed and really came across a few verses that I really felt like were for us today as well as in this season. So, Shabbat. So I titled this message, Possessing Our Inheritance. And it's really a message on being courageous. So as I was meditating on this, what I heard this guy say, I just looked in my Bible, and the first verse section of scripture that really stood out to me was in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, or not, verses 5 through 9, actually. So if you flip in your Bibles to Joshua, this is out of the NIV. So it reads, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Most translations say only. The NIV doesn't. It says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So, I mean, this is just an awesome passage. And I think it's kind of hilarious in some ways, just looking at it. The Lord says three times, he says, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. And he says, again, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. So I was like, I think the Lord was emphasizing something in this passage. And I was like, I really believe this is a key for us. It was a key for the people of the Israelites then, but it's a key for the church, for us to possess our inheritance. And but before I really go into being courageous, I was just meditating on what is our inheritance? There's a lot of things. I mean, I could probably ask, what is our inheritance in the Lord? And, as I was praying that, a passage in, Psalm 2, verse 8, many of us have heard this passage, read this passage. It says, ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, the very ends of the earth as your possession. So this is talking about Jesus's inheritance. His inheritance is the nations. His inheritance is people. And I was just meditating on that. And I know there's a lot of other things that are inheritance. You could say that our inheritance is salvation. Our inheritance is freedom. Our inheritance is a lot of things. Healing. There's a lot of things, but I was just, what is Jesus saying in this passage? He says, he asked the Father, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the very ends of the earth as your possession. So I was just meditating that Jesus's inheritance and really our inheritance is the nations. Now I was just meditating when I think about inheritance, I think of something that has value. And, it's something that your parents, if you have parents, or maybe your grandparents, they live their entire life and they have really their wealth and their, their most valuable things, they give that as an inheritance to their the ones they love the most. And I was just meditating on that, that the most precious and the most valuable thing to the Lord for Jesus is people. And I was just like, wow, Lord, you value people above all things. And I was just asking the Lord to give me his eyes to see people the way he sees them. When I see people, do I see just people? Or do I see Jesus' inheritance? And I was just like, the Lord was speaking to me. So do you see them how I see them? And I was just like, Lord, give me your eyes to see people. But also I just kind of felt like he was asking me, he's like, how valuable are these people to me? And it struck my heart. He's like, my very life, each person, everyone in this room, the entire world, he looks at each individual and he declares their value with his very life, with the cross, what we worship and what why we're here today. And I was just struck by that. Lord, let me see people the way you see them. Let me see how valuable each person is to you. Each and every person is so precious to the Lord. Every individual in this room and everyone on this planet is Jesus' inheritance. It's our inheritance. And I was like, wow, God, give me your eyes to see, which really kind of goes into this passage that I just wanted to share. It's in Ephesians 1:17. It's a passage many of us have read before. And I was like, Lord, you gave me this passage has been, I've heard a lot of different sermons on it. It's like this few verses has so much in it. You can unpack it. We're going to be unpacking it forever. But there was just a little thing I didn't see before that I just wanted to share. It's in Ephesians 1, verse 17 through about 20. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, or what are the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So it's an awesome passage. But then it says that Paul was praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We've prayed that a lot. That our eyes would be enlightened, that our eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we'd be able to see, to know the Lord, that we would know the hope of his calling. But it says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? So it says that the riches of his glory of his inheritance is in the saints. So Jesus is the riches of his glory. The riches of his glory and his inheritance is in people. And Jesus' inheritance, like I said, is people. But I just pray, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, pour out a spirit of wisdom and revelation upon my heart. Lord, upon our hearts, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. You'd open the eyes of our understanding to see your inheritance, Lord. And it says his inheritance is the saints. His inheritance is people. And I was thinking about that. It's a general statement. His inheritance is the saints, which you could be like, that's just for the church, right? And yes, it's true. But I still believe it's how he sees the entire world. He sees his inheritance as the nations set apart and loving him. And I was just asking the Lord, give me your eyes to see people. And I was just even just meditating like, Lord, so your inheritance is for all the nations to know you. Yes, yes, that's his inheritance. But then I was also just meditating as like, his inheritance is in the saints. I was thinking, Lord, your inheritance is wholehearted love. from me. That is Jesus' inheritance. And I was also thinking that his inheritance is when his creation is walking in their identity as sons and daughters. That's Jesus' inheritance. And I was like, Lord, give me eyes to see your inheritance. Jesus, I want to give you your inheritance from my own heart and from my own life. Amen. It's a good prayer. So that's what I've been meditating on. Lord, let me see your inheritance and really possessing our inheritance. So I was praying about that. I said, so this passage in Joshua, which I really believe is, you know, it's really a picture of the church in the New Testament. Joshua in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus' name means Joshua. It's Yeshua. Joshua means salvation. And he's leading his church. So he's saying, you're entering in to the promised land. I'm going to lead you to inherit, to possess your inheritance, which is my inheritance. And I was just praying and asking the Lord to expound upon what it really means to be strong and courageous. And I'm just really going to emphasize on being courageous. I think those go hand in hand, strong and courageous. But I feel like I have not really heard too many messages on being courageous. And I was like, Lord, make me courageous and let me share on how to be courageous. Amen. So I was meditating on that. And at first I was like, I kind of was looking through the internet just for some examples of how it really looks like to be courageous. I looked at a really cool speech by William Wallace. Mel Gibson plays William Wallace in Braveheart. That is just a courageous movie. Braveheart is the name of the movie. I was like, I love that movie. And I watched that, and it's really good. It's a really good speech. And I was like, that's really good. But then I came across, I was like, the Holy Spirit showed me this little video, which I have Ruby has it, that I really felt depicted what it means to be courageous. So go ahead and do that video.
News 5 at 10.
A woman about to be mugged in the parking lot of a Walmart turned things around on her would-be attacker. Without a gun, without pepper spray, she protected herself. I was lucky enough to meet Pauline Jacoby in Dyersburg. She told me about the powerful words that saved her and could possibly save her attacker, too.
I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins.
92-year-old Pauline Jacoby reads her Bible every day. Her strong faith keeps her going in life and in the process may have saved it. Jacoby had just finished putting away her groceries inside her car at a nearby Walmart. Only seconds after Jacoby got into her car, a man jumped in the passenger side. The man told Jacoby he had a gun and that he would shoot her if she didn't give him money.
I said, no, I'm not going to give him my money.
Jacoby told him no 3 times. Then she started to talk to him.
You know, as quick as you kill me, I'll go to heaven and you go to hell.
She told him to ask God for forgiveness.
I said, Jesus is in this car, and he goes with me everywhere I go. And he just sort of looked around, and the tears began coming in his eyes.
Jacoby ministered the man for 10 minutes inside her car.
And he says, I think I'll go home and pray tonight. I said, you don't have to wait tonight. I said, you can just pray anytime you want to.
As tears were rolling down the man's face, Jacoby voluntarily gave him all the money she had, $10.
And when I told him I was going to give him the money, I said, don't you spend it on whiskey either.
The man thanked her for the money, and then
reached over and kissed me on the cheek.
And walked away.
He walked away.
Well, Jacoby's story has caught national attention, and we've gotten so many calls and emails from church leaders who want to show her story to their congregations in order to teach others how to minister. Jacoby's story also aired on the Today Show. They tried to get her to come to New York.
That's good. But she declined. She's too humble. She did. So it was like, I really felt like that was a true picture of what it means to be courageous and just to be strong in the Lord. I was thinking being courageous is not being strong in the natural. We think of courageous people like big, strong people. Or we could think of like being courageous as just a really an outgoing. This person is just so outgoing. They're courageous. I'm not. And I was like, when I watched that video, I was like, no, being courageous is knowing who we are in the Lord and knowing that Jesus is with us wherever we go, just as she said. And being courageous is a choice. It's not based on your appearance or your physical strength. It's not what type of personality you have. It's a choice. And I looked up the definition of what courage is, and it says, if I can find it, it's the ability to do something that frightens you. It's the quality of mind and spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, pain, danger, and fear. But this is the one I like. It's actually a quote by Mark Twain. It says, courage is the resistance to fear, the mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. So I was just meditating on that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's confronting fear, overcoming fear, and really walking in our identity, which Jesus declares over us. Amen. So I thought it was kind of neat. Some things that video said that actually were things I wanted to share. I was like, so Lord, how do I become strong and courageous? And in that same passage in Joshua, right after that, it says, be strong, be courageous. Right sandwiched in between, it says, in verse 8, it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And it says, it was funny, I thought it was funny, it says, she reads her Bible every day. I was like, that's awesome. But really, to become strong and courageous isn't, like I said, it's not your personality, but it's who Jesus makes us to be. He transforms us from the inside out. And my personal testimony is that more than anything else in my Christian walk that has transformed me has been the Word of God. And meditating on the Word daily, getting away with Jesus daily, has transformed my life. Many of you guys know my testimony. Some of you don't. I come from a really rough background. Drugs, alcohol, sold drugs, was in jail. Just crazy, crazy background. But Jesus completely transformed me from the inside out. And he's still working on me. But it's been Jesus speaking to me who I am through the scriptures. It's the most powerful, transforming thing that I've ever experienced. I believe it's what transforms us into his image. It transforms us from weak and timid people to being strong and courageous. And this woman, you can tell, she lived in the Word. She has a lifestyle of living in the Word. Another passage that just was coming to mind that really reflects this is it's in John chapter 8. Verses 31 and 32, it says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. for you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it says if we abide in God's word, it says then we are true disciples. And it says when we abide in God's word, he said we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. This isn't just a study in your Bible. It's not just memorizing the scripture. It's abiding. It's living in the word. It's meditating. It's having conversation with God. But he said it's in that place of abiding in his word, setting apart time daily throughout your day to be in his word. He says you will know the truth. You will encounter Jesus, who is truth, and the truth will make you free. So that's my story. I was like, I could share a bunch of different times when the Lord encountered me deeply in the word, and it has, like I said, transformed my life. It has set me free and has continued to set me free. It's not just a one and done thing. It's a daily and a continuous journey of being set free in him and through the word. So I really believe that's key. And I've been a Christian for about 12 years, and I've been blessed to have awesome men and women that just have really modeled that. What does it look like to love God's word, to hunger for God's word, to delight in God's word more than anything else? I've been blessed to have men and women really model that for me. But I feel like as I've been a Christian for, like I said, 12 years, I feel like there's like an attack, like on the word. And there really is. There actually is whole denominations that are like saying, yeah, the word of God, it's not really, you know, perfect. It's not the inerrant word of God. Or there's spheres within the body of Christ that are just saying, you know, you don't want to be religious, you know, which you don't want to be religious. But I was just been asking the Lord, give me a hunger. Give me a delight that is only found in your word. Renew that love for your word in my heart. And it really is the greatest pleasure that I've ever had in my personal walk, in my life, has been encountering Jesus in his word. I'm just praying, God, I pray that for us, pray that for myself. Lord, give me a delight. Give me a desire to be in your word daily, to meditate on it. I want to encounter you in new and fresh ways in your word. Amen. So that was one key. I really believe that that empowers us to be strong and courageous. And then I was thinking upon another key is as I was just looking at the New Testament, it's really clear in the book of Acts that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's great. It's a great picture of what Jesus does in our lives. These guys were the disciples. They all said, Jesus, I love you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to abandon you. I'm going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you to the very end, even if they have to kill me, basically. That's what they said. And then Jesus gets taken to the cross. They all abandoned him. I probably would have too. These guys were just ordinary, untrained, uneducated fishermen who were very fearful. And then you see in the book of Acts, them encountering the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit empowering them and emboldening them in such a powerful way that literally says in the book of Acts, says they are turning the world upside down. I was like, this is what's available in the Holy Spirit. And I believe many of us have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some may have, some might not have. Or just the God's presence, we've experienced it. But I believe there's more that is available for us in the Holy Spirit. And a few passages that really highlight the power that's in the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in us and through us. One of them is in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So it says when the Holy, they already had the Holy Spirit, Jesus breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Then he says, there's going to be another experience that I have for you when the Spirit will come upon you and it will give you power to be my witnesses. And that word in the Greek for witnesses, you will be my martyrs. It's going to give you such courage and such boldness that you're going to be willing to die for me. And you won't even think twice of it. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is going to do when he comes upon you. And I believe we have experienced it, but I believe that there's more. And it's not just a one-time experience. God wants us to continually have encounters in the Holy Spirit, just like in the Word. We have encounters in the Word regularly. God wants us to have encounters in the Holy Spirit regularly. And one of my favorite verses I share this every time I preach. I love this verse. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. This is the New American Standard version. It says, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and discipline," or sound mind. So this is talking to Timothy. He's already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's received the Spirit's come upon him. But sometimes in our Christian walk, we can get dull. We can forget that the Holy Spirit lives inside us. And he says, "I remind you to kindle afresh, to stir up that gift that was given to you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That word for power is God's power. And it's power to do the miraculous. It's power to be completely free from every fear. And it's something that I ask myself, Lord, I want to stir up this gift. I believe we're going to have opportunity today to ask God to stir up this gift of God, this power of the Holy Spirit that is given in us. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. And I don't want to be dull. I don't want to just keep on doing life without the power and the love of Jesus flowing through my life. Amen. And there is an inheritance that we have. That Jesus has won the victory. I was thinking, what is keeping us from possessing our inheritance? And I was like, Jesus has completely and utterly defeated Satan. Completely. And he says, enter into my promised land. Yes, there's going to be a battle, but I've defeated Satan completely. So why am I not possessing the inheritance that Jesus purchased for himself and for us? And I was thinking the only thing the enemy can do, he's completely defeated, is either deceive us or distract us. We have the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus. The same Jesus that healed every single person that came to him. The Jesus that walked in perfect love towards sinning people. The most ugly, dirty people, myself. He loved people. Supernaturally. He moved in the supernatural. And that is all available for us in the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us. And I was like, so the enemy has been completely defeated. But he tries to deceive us from believing the truth of who God says we are. And the truth of the power that dwells in us. We have the Almighty God, the God who created the universe, the stars, the heavens. That same God who spoke the creation into existence lives inside me. And the enemy doesn't want us to know that power that lives inside me. That same Spirit that was in Jesus lives in us. So I was like, break off that deception. I need to encounter him and encounter who he says I am in the Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, give me eyes to see you and to see myself rightly. Lord, break off every deception, every lie of the enemy. Fill me afresh with your power, with your love, with discipline and a sound mind. Amen. That's my heart. I believe that's the Lord's heart. And the last thing, there was quite a bit I wanted to share. I knew there was not going to be any way I was going to be able to share it all. But I was thinking about that same passage in Joshua. So he really says just three things. He says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. He says that over and over again. He says, meditate on my word. And then he gives an instruction. He says, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. So I was thinking, there's some worship going on downstairs. Praise the Lord. Bless our kids in Jesus' name. So I was just thinking, so the only thing that the enemy can do is really deceive us and distract us. But he tries to put fear in our hearts. A really awesome man of God, Chris Hogan, he says, fear is false evidence appearing real. So the only thing the enemy can do, he's completely defeated, is try to put fear in our hearts. You've been defeated. Go in Jesus' name. I mean, I'm not in a prideful way. It's not arrogant confidence, but as Todd White says, it's Godfidence. Godfidence. He's been defeated. So the only thing he's going to do, is put fear in us. And I was thinking about what Pastor Victor was saying. The harvest is ready. It is ripe. The harvest is now. So we hear that. And then we don't do anything. I don't really do anything. Just kind of go on. So it's like, Lord, what's keeping me back? Fear and discouragement. The enemy tries to throw these little lies of fear and discouragement before us. And I just want to say no to the false, the lies of the enemy that tries to put fear in our hearts, which is not even real, and say no to discouragement. And I was thinking in the context of sharing the love of Jesus. I love that word. Not everyone was here. It's a powerful word from Pastor Victor. And on Monday, it was really awesome to hear the testimony that he had shared on Monday Night Prayer, a text that he said. He said, Brother Victor, just wanted to encourage you, saying that word that you shared yesterday, I just said yes to that. And I prayed for one person. And I led him to Jesus. It's like, wow. He didn't give in to the fear. He didn't give in to fear. He just said he heard God's voice, and he obeyed it. And I just want to war against fear and discouragement. I want to war against the lies of the enemy. The harvest is ready. The enemy has been completely defeated. Jesus has paid such a high price for him to receive his inheritance, for us to receive our inheritance. Let's go for it. Let's not let the enemy, let's kick the devil's butt. In Jesus' name. and let Jesus receive the reward of his suffering. So I was thinking about fear and discouragement, specifically in the context of evangelism. First, we just got to break through that fear. It's just, we think people are going to think all this weird stuff about us. You know, we think all these little things that are just trying to keep us from sharing Jesus. Jesus saying, you see that person? I love him so much. I want you to go and just tell him how much I love him. Go pray for him. You'd be surprised what will happen. So there's that fear. And we overcome that fear. God breaks through. So we get fear. And God does do things. We pray for somebody and they get saved. Praise God. That's awesome. God wants to do that through each and every one of us. But then there's times when we, he says it, throughout the scriptures, he says, you will be rejected. And so you're going to go out, you're going to overcome fear in Jesus' name. I'm going to overcome fear. And there's going to be times when we just totally get rejected. That person just gives me, doesn't give me his time. Just like, yeah, don't want to hear that. I don't want prayer. Or you pray for somebody and they, you don't really see anything change. So I was thinking, first we got to break through fear. And then we have to break, we have to overcome discouragement. But then I was thinking, this is just a little thing that the Lord spoke to me about overcoming fear and discouragement is how do we view success? And success, this is in context of evangelism. Success isn't always seeing people respond to receive the Lord, though that is a great success. Success is not giving into fear, not giving up when we face discouragement. Success is loving and obeying God and loving people. Amen? So I just want to go for it. I want to be like this 92-year-old. She's 92. I want to be courageous. I want Jesus to receive his inheritance. I want us to receive our inheritance. I just want to sign up again and say yes to the Lord. I just want to fall in love with him again in his word. I want to encounter him in the power of the Holy Spirit afresh and anew. And I want to possess, I believe the Lord wants us to possess our inheritance. The nations, worshiping Jesus, being set free from every fear, from every lie of Satan. That Jesus would receive the reward of his suffering. I love that story. I was going to share that. That was my subtitle. Possessing our inheritance, and may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. It's a great story. I'm not going to share it today. It's really powerful. Amen. So I'm just going to sign up. I'm just going to give this the next half an hour or so just to respond to the Lord. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you, but we just want to respond to the Lord, not to respond to my sermon. We just want to respond to the Lord. Amen. So we're just going to open up this time. You can stay in your seat. You can come forward. But I believe as the Lord is inviting us, to see how he sees and to possess what he's purchased for us, what he's purchased for himself. So I'm just going to say yes to that, afresh and anew. Amen? God is awesome. So Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that you are so amazing. Thank you that you are strong. Though you are the meekest and most humble man ever to walk on this earth, you are the strongest and most courageous. Thank you for loving us and being courageous to come to this earth, God. Thank you, Lord, for pursuing me. Thank you for pursuing us. Thank you, Lord, you didn't give in to fear, but you saw the reward, your inheritance, God, that you overcame every fear, every lie of the enemy, and that you have overcome. And Lord, that through you, Lord, you're causing us to overcome, just like you did. So Lord, we just say yes to you. We say yes to your love. We say yes to the invitation to be encountered by you and your word. We say yes to hungering and thirsting for more of you and more of your spirit. I thank you that that same spirit that was upon the 12, upon the 120, Lord, is the same spirit that is available for us, God, that gives us power, that gives us boldness, that gives us courage, that gives us love for you and love for others. So God, we say yes today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. You said that the righteous are as bold as a lion. Just thank you, Lord, for our new identity in you. Washed clean. You who knew no sin became sin that we would become the righteousness of God. I thank you, Lord, that you call us your children. You call us righteous and you call us to be bold as a lion. Lord, in this dark world that doesn't know true love, Lord, you're calling your church to arise and shine like never before, to bring in the harvest, to possess our inheritance, to possess your inheritance, God, the nations, people, to know your love, God, to know your amazing grace and salvation, God. So Lord, we say yes today. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you for how Tom Endress responded last week, Lord. But Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would impart your word today into us that would propel us and empower us, Lord, to see people touched with your love and power. Lord, I thank you for many testimonies, Lord. I thank you for many souls being saved. I believe, Lord, as you did in the book of Acts, you said you added to your church daily. I believe you want to do that here at Hilltop Ascend, God. Jesus, I just ask Holy Spirit you would come right now. Come upon our hearts. Come upon our lives, God. Even as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, the love of Jesus compels me. The love of Jesus constrains me and controls me. God, I pray, Lord God, that you would consume us with your love. Consume us with your spirit. That it would compel us. It would constrain us, God. It would embolden us, God. Thank you for your perfect love that casts out every fear. Thank you for setting us free from every lie, from the pit of hell. To walk as your sons and daughters, fully loved, fully free, reflecting the image of our Father, reflecting the image of Jesus. We just say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst, God. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just going to enter into a time of worship. You can stand and respond to the Lord any way you like. We're just going to open up the altar for ministry if you'd like. Amen. And you're free to go if you like as well. Blessings. Love you guys. Yes, God. Just declare over your sons and daughters how you see us, God. You are strong. You are courageous in my love. You are not weak. You are not fearful. I see you differently. I speak over you differently, how you speak over yourself. Thank you Thank you for liberating us today, God. In our right identity, God. Thank you, Jesus, for today, God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our midst, God. I thank you, Lord, that you have overcome, God, all things, God. And that through you, you said that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Oh, Lord, we just say yes, God. Receive the reward of your suffering, God. Receive your inheritance in us. Wholehearted love. Your sons and daughters walking in our their right identity. The nations worshiping you. Say yes, Lord. Have your way in us. Have your way through us, God. Praise the Lord. I like being loud, even though you don't always have to be loud. Being great, you don't have to be loud to be courageous. But I do like, it says, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. It says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. The Lord is so awesome. I just love Joshua. He leads Joshua, the first victory. This huge fortress. I mean, these guys look invincible. And there's like these little Israelites, little short little Jewish people, walking. He says, go around that fortress 7 days. The seventh day, just shout as loud as you can. And then they'll be completely defeated. It's like, this is the God. This is our God. This is the God that lives inside us. So I just wanted to end this time just with a shout of triumph that Jesus has overcome and that we have overcome through Jesus. So just on the count of three, let's just lift up a clap and a shout unto the Lord in victory that Jesus is receiving his inheritance and that we're going to possess our inheritance in him. In Jesus' name, amen. So on three, Lord. One, two, three. Hallelujah! We shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. With the shout of praise, we give you praise today, God. Thank you for the victory through your Son. We say, Jesus, you're worthy to receive the reward of your suffering. Hallelujah! Thank you for your victory over our hearts. Thank you for your victory over all creation. Over your church, God. We give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah! Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's great to be with you. Better is one day here than anywhere else, right? Amen. And let's just take what we've experienced here in this. Let's spread that in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Be blessed. And have an awesome week. We'll see you guys around.